We've asked Brother Walter Bleachers to open with a word of prayer.
Loving, kind, and merciful Heavenly Father, it is with great desire that we come before Thee in the name of our dear Master, Christ Jesus. We thank Thee for this wonderful 2 days of convention we've been enjoying, especially grateful for Thy presence and for the Holy Spirit with us and guiding us. We thank Thee, Father, for the hope that we have. We thank Thee, Father, especially for the kingdom coming, and we do pray for Thy kingdom to come. We ask Thy blessing to be with similar conventions being held this weekend, guide and direct them. Now, Father, as we look for the lesson by Brother George, we would ask Thy blessing upon him and upon us, and receive a better understanding of that wonderful plan. All favors and blessings we ask in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Walter. We're very happy to have our beloved Brother George to serve us one more time. The name of his subject, Servants of God. Brother George.
Thank you, Brother Edgar. My brother and truly has been a blessing for us. For Sister Florence, myself, to be with you, and once again we bring the love of your brethren from Chicago who wanted to be remembered to you. Well, brethren, we realize that countless scriptures refer to the church as servants of God. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all. Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. There are 138 more references in the New Testament, mostly pertaining to how the church are to be servants of God. The word servant may be defined as one who ministers to the needs of others. Even as Jesus said in Matthew 20:26-8, whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And so Jesus here is emphasizing what our lives are to consist of, that of being servants, ministering to the needs of others. The first aspect of our life as servants we'd like to consider is our ministry or service to fellow members of the body of Christ. The scriptures tell us that the Christ is composed of many members, each of which was selected to perform some unique ministry to the others. As Paul tells us in Romans 12:4, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. 1 Corinthians 7:7. Every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Well, we realize the gifts that are here referred to are not talking about the miraculous gifts that only the early church had of speaking in tongues and divine healing. But it's speaking of the gift of the Holy Spirit that energizes our natural talents to be able to be used for spiritual benefit of others. As we read in Matthew 25:14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. 1 Corinthians 12. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. And so what these scriptures are telling us is that each of us has different qualities and talents. And based on these, each of us were chosen to perform this unique talent that we have to bless others. Your assigned specialized service ministry is unique from the one sitting next to you. It's different from every other member of the body. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, "What would you think if you heard an ear say, 'I'm not part of the body because I'm only an ear and not an eye'? Well, suppose the whole body were an eye, then how would you hear? Or if your whole body were just one big ear, how could you smell anything? But that isn't the way God has made us. He has made many parts for our bodies and has put each part just where He wants it. And some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Each and every member of the body has a very important function. There's no such thing as, oh, I'm just having a small service for God. It kind of implies it's not significant. Every ministry in the body of Christ, brethren, is important. It matters because we're all dependent, interdependent, one upon another. Some are more visible and some are less. But all are absolutely essential, just as in the natural body. What happens when one part of our body fails to function? Well, we get sick. The rest of our body suffers. Imagine, if you would, if our liver decided one day, oh, I'm tired. I'd like to take a year off so I can concentrate on my own needs and do what's best for me. Let some other part take over. What would happen to our body? Well, brethren, the same thing can happen to our ecclesia body. For the body to be healthy, each member must perform their special ministry to the others. The Apostle Paul admonishes us in Ephesians 5, "Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity you have for doing good. Don't act thoughtlessly." But notice now, "but try to find out and do whatever the Lord wants you to." Try to find out and do whatever the Lord wants you to do. Have you ever actually taken time to sit down and try to evaluate, what does the Lord want me to do? What was that unique talent that He gave me, that He wants me to utilize for the blessing of others? Our spiritual talents, we realize, were not given us for our own benefit so much as for the benefit of others. And others were given spiritual talents for our benefit. God planned it that way so we would each need each other. And thus, brethren, it is important for each of us, for you, to consider, what is the talent that God uniquely gave me to bless others? How could we discover what our spiritual talent is? Well, the scriptures are filled with everyday talents that were used to the glory of God. Recall in Exodus 4, the Lord said unto Moses, "What is that in thine hand?" God is saying to each of us, "What is that in thine hand?" It's kind of God's way of telling us, just take that ordinary, everyday talent that I gave you and search out ways to use it to bless others. Look around you. I guarantee that if you do, you will find ways to use it to my glory. 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you, some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others of God's children many kinds of blessings. Well, you know, perhaps the best way to discover what God would have you to do is to prayerfully ask for His guidance as you experiment in striving to do different things that you ordinarily perhaps haven't thought of doing. You know, you really don't know what you're good at until you've tried different things. You may have dozens of hidden abilities that you don't even know you have because you've never tried them. So may I encourage you to try different areas of service that you've never done before. And I'd seriously like to, if we can convey one thought, rather, is to consider these elements we're going to mention. Perhaps one of them, you don't even know it yet, is what God wants you to do because He gave you that unique talent and He wants you to use it. You know, and I might add, you know, we're never too old to stop experimenting. Step out in faith by experimenting in different areas. One, you may try writing a new tract or a booklet. Have you ever tried? You may have a hidden talent you didn't know existed. Or perhaps you know another language. You know, brethren, we need translators to translate into the different languages of earth to spread this wonderful gospel. Are you using it? Are you using it? You might try encouraging brethren who are shut in or lonely or ill by phoning them. Oh, not once in 6 months, but every week. Put it on your calendar. Call Sister So-and-so, Tuesday, Wednesday, Brother So-and-so, whatever. Do it on a regular basis. You might try to learn the computer for many different avenues of service, like typesetting, composing, proofreading, accounting, being your class treasurer, inputting names for sending literature. Oh, and there are countless others. Have you ever served at a fair? It's a beautiful opportunity to express verbally with enthusiasm in your heart, to share with others a message of truth. You may try cooking a few meals and bring them to someone who just came home from the hospital to help the caregiver. You know, when Florence had her knee replaced, I was all set to buy TV dinners. But brethren, we had so much food that was brought to help out by brethren who cared. Try it. Help the caregiver. You might try writing cards of encouragement to brethren who are going through hard trials. And your brethren on old Ron's internet list, there are brethren almost every day going through a severe trial. Oh, how they would love to hear a note from you. Try it. Step out in faith. You might try doing telephone follow-up work. We have thousands of names in Chicago anyway. And it's difficult to go house to follow up now. But you can do it on the telephone. And you know, if you're kind of timid like myself, it's easier than talking face-to-face. Try it. Ask your secretary, can I have a few follow-up names? I'm going to try it tomorrow. You might have a talent you didn't know you had. You might try teaching a children's class. Or you might want to help a mother with special needs. Or offer to watch the children of a young family who find it difficult to get out to a weeknight study meeting. You love children. Offer to help so they can go and have further nourishment. You may want to volunteer to be class secretary. Or you may try learning to do video editing. Florence would love to have your help in producing videos with messages of truth. Try growing flowers, not for just your own enjoyment, but to bring them to the shut-in brethren. You may try sewing clothes for the needy brethren in Romania, Moldova, and Ukraine. Brethren, they have so little. And when you're through sewing them, send them to Sister Sherelle here. Send them to Sister Sherelle Hagensek. Brethren, she has literally sent barrels and barrels and barrels filled with clothes to the brethren in Romania. They need it. You may try working at the press one day a week. It's a joy. No special talents or skills for many things are needed. John and Helen Grigalunas travel 2 hours to come and to go home. For years, they've done it twice a week. We have brethren from 60s and 70s and one sister, 85. She loves it. Last week, we had Leah Rigorella and Sarah Whitaker, teenage or college students. We knew they were young and full of vigor. We cranked up the machine. And when they got home, I know they were tired because there was a lot of stooping and loading hoppers for the automatic binder. But I know that in their heart, when they got home, there was a glow. They did what they could in serving the Lord until it hurt, literally. But it was a good feeling. They contributed to putting out 20,000 booklets that day. You may try picking up brethren who can't get to the meeting otherwise. It's a wonderful service. Some of our brethren go way out of their way to help one of our brethren to come. You may try witnessing in scriptural chat rooms on the internet. It's a way that a number of our brethren are doing that. And a number of brethren have come into the truth. Want a little bit more information about it, talk to Sister Joanna Knox. She does it frequently. It's a wonderful opportunity. But brethren, perhaps best of all, try creating your own unique service ministry that will utilize that special talent that God has given you. Strive to find out what it is. Try different things. Try to serve the Lord with every fiber of your being, with the gift that He has given you. You'll never know what you're good at until you try different things. If it's not your best ability, God will show you. But in any case, God will be pleased to see you're ever seeking to test or recognize your talents so that you could be the most productive servant that He wants you to be. 1 Corinthians 12:6. There are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in everyone. The lesson of sin offering experiences is a beautiful tie-in to our study. God has chosen 144,000 different members of the church. Each one has their own unique qualities, characteristics, and experiences. No two are alike because God needs each to be a unique, merciful, and sympathetic high priest so that together we may have experienced every trial and difficulty that any one of mankind has ever gone through. Thus, God needs introverts. He needs extroverts. He needs those who like to work alone. He needs those who like to work with others. He needs those that are exuberant. He needs those that are quiet. He needs those who work best with their hands. He needs those who work best with their minds. He needs those who can work with young people. He needs those who can work with the elderly. He needs those who have gone through many and very trying experiences to help comfort others who are going through them. In fact, brethren, your greatest talent may be what was developed within you as you went through a very hard, trying experience. Who best to help comfort someone, to encourage them when they have lost a loved one or a child critically ill, that one who has gone through the same experience? God wants us to use the lessons that we've learned to help others, and that really may be one of your greatest talents. Now we'd like to go on to consider how Satan will strive to do everything in his power to discourage us, to divert us from being faithful servants. He uses many different tactics. One is planting seeds of discouragement. We may be serving in a relatively little known capacity, and he whispers in our ear, "Oh, why are you bothering? No one seems to even be aware of it. They don't even know it. They don't appreciate it." Brethren, please don't feel that way. Each of us are what we are and where we are at this moment for a purpose. God has every hair of our heads counted. He knows our present condition. If and when He wants to change it, He will. He'll guide us to it. But for now, enjoy the service God has for you. Prominence in service is not what's important. The most significant service at times may be relatively unknown by others. We have prominent features of our body that, you know, we could really live without. But it is the hidden parts of our body that are indispensable. The same is true in the body of Christ. The most significant service is often the service that may be relatively unknown by others. 1 Corinthians 12:22. On the contrary, those parts of the body which seem to have less strength are more essential to health. And to those parts of the body which seem to us to be less admirable, we have to allow the highest honor of function. You know, beyond the veil, we may find those who will receive the highest honor, maybe those whose service in thousands of ways was perhaps relatively unnoticed. Knowing this, may you not be discouraged when your service is somewhat unnoticed or kind of taken for granted. Remember the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It's not in vain. Even the smallest service is noticed by God and will be rewarded. As our Lord said, "Believe me, anyone who gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, just because he is my disciple, will by no means lose his reward." Another tactic of Satan is to tempt us into looking about us to compare what we're doing with what others are doing. Paul forewarns us against this in Galatians 6:4. Each one should test his own actions without comparing himself to somebody else. You know, comparing ourselves with others will generally have a negative effect for one of two reasons. Either we'll be able to find someone who seems to be doing a better, more efficient job than us, and it could discourage us. Or we'll be able to find someone who isn't quite as effective as ourselves, which could then so easily lead to pride, a prideful feeling within. Either way, the effects of comparisons will hurt us spiritually. May we each seek to know what the Lord would have us to do with the talents He gave us, and then just do them without ever being concerned with comparisons. Faithful servants don't spend time in comparing, criticizing, or competing with other servants. They're too busy doing the work that God would have them to do. You know, when you're busy serving, you don't have time to be critical. When Martha complained that Mary was not serving, she kind of lost the servant spirit. Because a proper servant spirit won't complain about unfairness or resent those not serving. They just trust God and continue serving with all they're capable of. It's not our job to evaluate the master's other servants. Oftentimes, we may be completely unaware of the important service another is doing in countless ways. Paul reminds us in Romans 14:4, "After all, who are you to criticize the servant of somebody else? It is to his own master that he stands or falls." Another tactic of Satan is to cause others to criticize us, again with the intent of discouraging our ministry. You remember, one of the most beautiful acts of love shown to Jesus was criticized by the disciples. Mary took the most valuable thing she had, expensive perfume, and anointed Jesus' feet. Some of his disciples were indignant, calling it a waste. Do you remember what Jesus said? In Matthew 26, "Why must you make this woman feel uncomfortable? She has done a beautiful thing for me." And that's all that mattered. Our service for Christ is never wasted, regardless of what others may say. You know, sometimes you may be criticized by by well-meaning brethren who just don't understand your makeup or your talent. Or others may try to persuade you to change your service ministry, to do what they're doing, or to do what they think you should be doing. And in times what others are suggesting may be very good. It may be helpful advice. But we have to evaluate it. It may not be the best for you. It may be the best for many others. Each new creature must prayerfully strive to follow the leading of the Lord in the best use of your time and talents. Because you know yourself better than anybody else. Jesus' parable of the talents illustrates that God expects us to make the most of what He has given us. In referring to the servant who didn't use his one talent, Jesus said, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. We know that if we don't exercise our muscles, they get weak and atrophy. In the same way, if we don't utilize the abilities and skills that God gave us, we're going to lose them. The opposite lesson, however, is also true. If we use the ability we have to the full extent, God is going to increase them. The next aspect of our study we'd like to consider is how a true servant must be willing to do whatever is necessary at the moment, no matter how menial it may seem. God wants us to develop a servant's heart that just permeates our entire being. And thus, our primary service would be in using our basic talents. But our secondary service would be whenever and wherever we're needed at any moment. Because you know, brethren, if we only serve when it's what we like to do and it's kind of convenient for us, then I don't think we're quite as mature as we want to be. Faithful servants will do whatever is needed whenever it's inconvenient or convenient. Are we available to God at any time? Can God disrupt our plans with our not becoming a bit resentful? You know, as a servant, you don't get to pick and choose when and where we'll serve. Being a servant means giving up the right to control our schedule and allowing God to interrupt it whenever He sees fit. Perhaps we can remind ourselves at the beginning of each day that I'm God's servant. That way, when interruptions will take place, and we know they will, we won't be as frustrated because our schedule will be whatever God wants it to be that day. We want to see interruptions as divine appointments for service and should be happy for the opportunity. Many of you know, remember Brother Morehouse. Remember what he used to say? Put a H in front of the word disappointment and look at it as his appointment. Opportunities for service often pass quickly, rarely lasting long. May we be ever vigilant not to let them pass by, as Proverbs 3:28 tells us. Never tell your neighbors to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. I like so much a quote from John Wesley that probably we've all heard in the past, but it's beautiful. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. A beautiful description of one who would truly be a faithful servant of God. Such a servant doesn't make excuses, procrastinating for a better time. Faithful servants don't say, well, maybe tomorrow or one of these days, or well, when the time is right, or when the children leave home, or when I retire. They just do what needs to be done now, today. Ecclesiastes 11:4. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. God expects us to do what we can with what we have, whenever and wherever we are. Even imperfect service is always better than just good intentions. One reason our flesh suggests for not serving is to tell us, well, you know, you're really not good enough. We may have heard it said in the past, well, if you can't do it well, don't do it. You know, Jesus never said that. It doesn't have to be perfect for God to use and to bless a willing heart. On the other hand, we're told, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. The size of the task is not what's important. What is is to have the willingness to do whatever needs to be done, and then to do it as unto the Lord. Brethren, we should never, ever get to a place in life where we feel, my time is too valuable for this menial task. Never even think it. God will never exempt His true servants from at times mundane, menial things. It's part of our character building. We need to. Galatians 6:3. If you think you are too important to help someone in need, you're only fooling yourself. You are really nothing. It's in these small services that we really grow into Christ. Jesus, you recall, often did menial things that others tried to avoid, like washing someone's feet, helping children, fixing breakfast, serving shepherds, lepers. Nothing was beneath him because he came to serve. It wasn't in spite of his greatness that he did these things, but it was because of it. He expects us, in turn, to follow his example. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Your servant's heart will be revealed in those little acts that others just don't even think at times of doing. Remember when Paul gathered sticks to make a fire to warm everyone after a shipwreck? He was just as tired as everyone else, but he did what everyone needed. No task is beneath you if you have a servant's heart. It is often our willingness to do those little things in life that will determine whether God will give us greater things to do. You know, it seems that there are generally more that are willing to do the greater things for God than those little things. But whether it be the greater things or the little things, God is judging us on our willingness to do whatever is needed right now. But whatever we do, it should always result in one purpose. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, the motivation must always be to all to the glory of God. Let's go on to consider other qualities of faithful servants of God. Faithful servants fulfill their responsibilities, keeping their promises. They don't leave a job half done and quit when they kind of get a little bit tired or discouraged. They're dependable. They're trustworthy. Can we be counted upon by others to fulfill our commitments? Faithful servants will always follow through. They'll never retire from serving. Oh, they may retire from their career, but never from serving God. They will be serving to the very day they die, in one way or another. And when finished, they will be told, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Faithful servants don't promote or call attention to themselves, kind of trying to impress others. Paul exposed a kind of service that appeared to be spiritual, but was really an act to just get attention. He called it eye service. That is service, serving in order to impress people of how spiritual they were. This was the sin of the Pharisees. They misused service to others, almsgiving, and even prayer into a performance for others to kind of see their holiness. Jesus hated this attitude. He tells us, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. To have a heart, a servant's heart, it has to start in our mind. In our service, we must always remember, God is more interested in why we do something than in what we do. God is always more interested in why you do something than in what you do. Our motive. It's our attitude that counts more than what we will achieve. Thus, to be a faithful servant, it must start with true humility. 1 Peter 5, servants put on the apron of humility to serve one another. This doesn't necessarily mean to think less of ourselves, but rather to be thinking of ourselves less and focusing more on others. Philippians 2:4. None of you should think only of his own affairs, but consider other people's interests also. When we think less of our own needs, we become more aware of the needs around us. Too much of our time, our flesh wants us to dwell on ourselves and our own needs. Oh, that we could be more like Timothy, when Paul said in Philippians 2:20, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Now we'd like to consider the weaknesses of one kind or another that each one of the members of the body of Christ has. Some are physical, some are mental, some emotional, some intellectual. Many we were born with. Some were developed in earlier years. We know we all have them as we read in 1 Corinthians 1:27. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. Why would God choose for the church class those who are the foolish and weak things of earth? Because God dislikes those who are proud of their own accomplishments. God only wants those who have a humble spirit, so he can demonstrate that it is only through his grace and spirit working in our lives that we can be used to his glory, not in our own strength. Recall when Paul prayed to have his thorn in the flesh removed, God told him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Thus God is telling us that we too will receive strength and we will be made perfect despite of our weaknesses. Or perhaps it even be more accurate to say even because of our weaknesses. For as Paul said, when we are weak, then we become strong in Christ. Our weaknesses will tend to increase our sympathy, our compassion, our consideration for the weaknesses of others. Another aspect of faithful servants is they think of ministering to others is a privilege, not an obligation. they don't have the attitude, oh, well, I guess I better do it because if I don't, what will the brethren think? They do it with absolute joy. They serve the Lord with gladness. The greatest privilege of life is really in serving others. Our entire life now as new creatures is a training ground, as it were, for eternity. For truly those who will be found faithful will be serving others in some capacity for all the ages and ages to come. They will forever be concerned with bringing blessings to others, even as it was the motivation of God in all of His creations. The final aspect we'd like to consider of being a faithful servant is to remember that we are stewards of God. All that we are and all that we have belongs to God when we consecrated our all to Him. And then He in turn appointed us now to be stewards over it, to use it not for our pleasure, but to use it for His glory. Recall in the Bible, a steward was a servant entrusted to manage his master's estate. And thus, it kind of would be well for us not to think in terms of things such as our home, our car, our finances, as being ours, because they're not. In reality, they belong to God. He has made us stewards over it. He then appoints us to use them to His glory. How are we doing in our stewardship? One of the foremost aspects of our stewardship is as being God's ambassadors in the earth. 2 Corinthians 5. God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We are Christ's and God's ambassadors. Oh, what a responsibility to share with mankind the true understanding of the greatest knowledge on the face of the earth for anyone to have. No other knowledge is more meaningful to know than what God's plan is all about, why we are here. Everyone is wondering about all the trouble and problems and terror in the world. We have the message to give them. God wants us to be His ambassadors, to spread it to every corner of the world. He tells us that ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill. It cannot be hid. Oh, brethren, may we never slow down. May we never let our flesh discourage us with suggestions. Well, you know, there are so few coming into the truth. What's really important now is to make your calling and election sure. Forget about witnessing. That's what the flesh is speaking. That's what Satan would want us to believe. Brethren, may we proclaim this message of truth while we have any breath left. For only then will our responsibility end. For you recall when Isaiah, typifying the church, asked the question, Lord, how long? How long should we continue to proclaim the truth as your ambassadors? Remember what Isaiah said. Or the Lord said, then said I, Isaiah speaking, Lord, how long? And He answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. God, in essence, is telling us that as long as there is one person left on the face of the earth, and we have any breath left, it is our responsibility to be His ambassador and to share with them what He has given of His glorious plan. First Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. We are ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Brethren, may we indeed be found to be faithful stewards and servants of God.
We thank you, Brother George. We appreciate the reminder of how blessed and precious the privilege of being servants of God. We cannot appreciate it enough. And our next meeting will be at 3:15.
Our most loving Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before Thee to thank Thee, to praise Thee for the glorious privilege that Thou hast given us of being Thy servants. Help us, Father, to be faithful servants, to be faithful stewards over that which Thou hast placed in our hands. Continue with us now in our further fellowship together and remain near this convention, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.